Praise the name of Jesus. I really love that worship this morning. You know, I just feel I'm in that mood, that spirit. You just want to, you know, keep in allowing the Spirit of God to minister to us. Because you know what? When there is praise, there is something that happens in our spirits. Amen. God is good. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 11. I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard Version. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intend to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Thus says the Lord, Look, I am a potter, shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. Spirit of the living God, we urge and pray that you may come and fall afresh on us, O God, this afternoon in the name of Jesus. Pray that God, you may give us understanding where we lack. We pray that God, you may give us an awakening where it lacks. Pray for your presence to be with us during this moment. Give us a new revelation even as we hear your word. In your name we pray. Amen. The potter. Many years ago, when our kids were little, we went to a potter's house. Not the potter's house, a potter's house. And the most unique thing about the potter's house is that it's all clay. It's somewhere where the clay was all red. So you have an idea where it is because it is it was in Kenya. It was all red clay. And there were wheels, not just one wheel, but there were wheels. There are several wheels because there were many potters. But what we also noticed is that while there was some clay that was spinning in that wheel, there were also some pots that had broken and had been kept in one side. But at that particular time, we were not interested in knowing what broke these pots. We were only interested in seeing that fresh wheel, that wheel that was spinning fresh clay, and seeing what is going to become out of it. And humanly speaking, we are always excited by new things. We are always excited to see that fresh clay that has been molded. But do you know it takes a lot of work to mold that clay? It's like making, for those of us who are talented in making chapatis, it's the same process. You know, the dough, that's where the real work is. That's where the real work is. And you keep on mixing and mixing until it's the right texture, until it comes out the way that you want it. Now, in a way, you are the potter, and that dough is your clay. But it's the same way. So it has to come in a particular way, so that when you put it in the wheel, you can be able to shape it the way that you want. At that time, you are the authority over that clay. You can do whatever you want with that clay. It is under your control. It is under your will. You can do anything that you want with that clay. Shape it to anything you want. Make it big, make it short, make it wide, make it narrow, whatever you want. You are in control. And so three things that we notice from this text that you have just read. And the first thing is that that potter, the person who is actually molding that clay and turning that wheel, he has power and authority over that clay. If he decides, I'm going to make a big fat pot, that will be it. If he decides that I'm going to make one narrow pot, so be it. The second thing is that the potter, in reference to the Jeremiah text that we've read, is God. We are but the clay. And God chooses to mold us to be what he wants us to be. For indeed, you know, like Romans says in chapter 8, that we are molded and made in the image of God. And thirdly, the clay cannot resist. Once that clay has been molded and placed into the wheel, it's lost control. It's nothing you can do. You can't get out. So all that the potter does is just to keep on spinning that wheel and keeps on going, keeps on going, keeps on going. And I want to pause for a moment right now and just challenge each one of us, because this process of the potter is not an ending process. The process does not end with the pot being made. Like I said, when we visited this potter's house, the other thing that we saw is that those broken pots may seem like they were rejected, may seem like the owner had said, these are useless, I don't need them. But that is our perception. In reality, they were not. Because momentarily, after these fresh ones have been removed, before a new fresh clay was brought to the wheel, then the potter would go back to those broken pots and start wondering, what can I make from this broken pot? What can I make from this broken pot? And we saw in another place where there were images or there were products that were made from those broken pots. You and I are those pots. Some of us are made whole. Some of us are still fresh. Some of us are still smelling of that freshness. Some of us have been broken, but we are mended. So we are still vessels that God can use. Praise the name of Jesus. Some of us are still fresh. We still don't know what is God going to do with us. But yet, there is another stage. In that process of molding that clay, I don't know if it happens with chapatis, but when you're making that mold of clay and keeps so that you can be able to spin it, if there is air in that mold, you're going to have a problem with the end product. So what happens is that if you have air, kind of makes it, you'll see the shape of the pot, but you know the end product, the end process of making that pot is going through fire. And once you go through fire, that's when that pot is tested for its quality. So if there is air, if there's an air bubble inside that molding, that pot will crack. I wonder how many of us as Christians have got air. We've got foreign things in us that God wants to remove. We can't hide away from it, because if we hide, you know what happens? We'll crack open, and it hurts so bad. And it reminded me of a story that I read about a pot. This was a day and time that pots used to talk. And this particular pot was at a stage where it felt old, it felt hard, it felt ugly, it felt unused. It felt that I am just an old clay pot. Of what use am I? But one day, a potter came and picked that pot up. As old as it was, as useless as it was, and took it to the potter's house and crushed it. And crushed it. And crushed it until it became like clay. And then started adding water and adding fresh clay. Started adding little water and some fresh clay and started putting it on that wheel and started spinning it. And the pot was saying, at that particular time, I started feeling so dizzy. I couldn't even walk. I didn't even know where I was. He was spinning so fast. What was going on in his mind? It really had to be spinning. I was so used to living my own old life. Don't no longer make any change. I'm useless. I don't help anybody anymore, but I'm okay. And then he comes and takes me and crushes me and puts me in this wheel. And in him, that pot was saying, please stop. But the potter said, not yet. And then he put that pot in a place that now he was going to start shaping that pot to whatever shape that he wanted it to be. So the spinning was kind of different. See, there are different stages of spinning. There's the first spinning where those air bubbles are supposed to go. There's a second spinning which is much slower. And that meticulous potter now starts coming with his own shape, with his own tools, so he can shape the pot to whatever he wanted. And he says, I was getting dizzy. I began to feel ill. I begged the potter, potter, please, please let me off this wheel. But the potter said, not yet. And then momentarily he removed me from the wheel. And would you believe it that he put me on a hot furnace? And it was so hot, I cried out, and I cried out to be let out. But he said, not yet. Finally, the oven door opened, and he took me out and set me on a table. And I thought, phew, that's done. I'm done now, but not yet. He began to paint me with this awful smelling stuff. I could hardly breathe. When he put me back into the oven for a second time, it was even hotter than before. I thought I would die for sure. Just when I was about to give up, he gently lifted me up from the oven. I looked at myself and saw the image of who I had become. I was no longer that old, ugly, used pot. But I was a fresh, new pot, very attractive. And I had so many people coming to admire me and removing me from the shelf, wanting to use me. I had become usable and attractive one more time. Jeremiah says in 18 verse 6, can I not do with you, O Israel, as the potter does? In other words, what Jeremiah God is speaking through Jeremiah, can I not reshape you again? Can I not take you and mold you one more time so that you can be useful, so that you can be a person of honor where honor has been left or where honor is absent? Can I not take you again and shape you so that you can be used in the ministry, so that you can be used in those areas of your life that you felt, I used to be so useful, not anymore? Can I not do with you, O Israel, as the potter does? Like clay in the hand of the potter, God says, so are you in my hands. And for a moment, would you think about the many things that you have possessed in your life and discarded them? Think about things that you have changed ownership because you don't need them anymore. Think of things that you have traded and things that you've given back to Mother Earth to be molded to something else. And then God says, you, and you, and you, and you, I have a plan for you. It's not over yet. Just when you think it's over, just when you think of what use am I, what else can I do? He says, I have a plan for you. It's not going to be an easy plan. It might mean that I'll break you, that I will crush you, that I'll put some fresh earth on you, remold you, remake you to something else, but I'll still use you. I still have a plan for you. It's not over yet. When you felt rejected, when you've gone to a place once probably used to be so vibrant and so useful and you had an energy, the word of God was so fresh in your mind, but over time you've become, so many things have gone through you, through so many trials, so many tests, you're no longer of any worth, or so you tell yourself, but he says, I can still use you. Because you know what? We remain God's creation. Whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you're a newborn Christian, or whether you're an old-born Christian, if there's such a thing, he says, I can still use you. I will take your brokenness, and I will restore you again to be a person of honor. It doesn't matter, friends, where you are or at what stage you are in your life. It doesn't matter where you feel that you are. It doesn't matter the perception of people. What he says that I can use you just the way you are. But it may hurt a little bit. Like the story of the pot itself. It may hurt a little bit. It may mean that I may have to take you through that process of molding you again. It might mean that I may have to put you through the furnace one more time. It might mean that I may have to paint you and put you back again yet in the furnace. The question I'm asking myself today is that where are you in that potter's stage? Are you being molded and you feel that, you know, God doesn't care? Have things in your life just felt broken and nothing adds one to another? You find one part is there, one part is there, one part is there, the other part. What? Who can use me? I'm so broken. Or are you in a place where you feel that you're still in that stage of being spinned in that wheel, and you feel, God, you're just taking me round and round and round. God, what do you have in mind? Where are you in your stage of being in the potter's life? Because each one of us is in a stage of being molded by the potter. Each one of us. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be at a place where you're now being admired. Oh, so beautiful, oh, so nice. But if you are asked to tell your story, if you are told to tell, how did you get here? Says, my friend, you don't want to know. I was broken. I was crushed. I was wounded. I was bleeding, but he never gave up on me. Some of us standing here today, some of us in this church today, are a product of God's second chance. Being broken and being taken from that broken state and being restored is God exercising his power of giving us a second chance. Am I talking to people who have benefited from second chances? Had it not been for God, where would you have been today? Wouldn't some pieces be in Russia, some other pieces in Africa, some pieces in South Africa, some pieces in Alaska? But through God's mercies and his desire to give each one of us a second chance, like he says in verse 7, that if at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation, I warned, repents of its evil, then I'll relent. I will give it a second chance. I will give it a second chance. God is not interested in your brokenness, my friend. So don't despise yourself. Don't you look at yourself and reject yourself, because that is the worst rejection. People can reject you. Structures can reject you. But do not reject yourself. God cannot reject you. Your brokenness, God is not interested in your brokenness. But he says that I can still use you. I will restore you. But it's not going to be easy. I can use you. Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Can I not? He says that all souls are mine, but whichsoever soul that sins, it shall surely die. But he says, if it repents, I will relent. If it repents, I will relent. Brethren, I want to challenge us and remind us that we all belong to God. We are God's creatures, and God does not leave us or dump us because we have not been at our best, or because we have erred, or because we have not been faithful. He still gives us a second chance. And today I'm declaring you about the God of second chance. I'm speaking to you about a God who is not interested in your brokenness, but is interested in restoring you back to honor. He's not interested that you are broken or how you are broken. He's interested in taking you back and restoring you. But like I say, it's not going to be easy. Sometimes that process might bring rebellion, because you feel, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I was looking for. I'm okay the way that I am. But yet God, you've restored yourself, he's brought yourself before the presence of God, and God still crushes you, and then starts putting some water on you to make you a mold, because he knows what kind of a vessel that you are. God gives us a second chance, and many, 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 many believers are recipients of this God of second chance. Psalms chapter 34 verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It does not matter what challenges that you have faced. It really does not matter. It doesn't matter how many afflictions that you are facing. He will restore you. He will restore you. It doesn't matter what is not working in your life. It really does not matter what is not working in your life. It matters that he will restore you out of it. It doesn't matter that stuff is broken in your life. It doesn't matter that relationships are broken in your life. It matters that he will restore them. That's what he says. He asks. Can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does? So what is broken in life, beloved? What is it that is broken in your life? Can't God, the potter, restore it as the potter does on the broken pots? He's a God of a second chance. Adelaide Pollard wrote a song that many of us probably sang. I did. And song was perfected by Jim Reeves. Those of you who are old enough to remember Jim Reeves. But he says, have thine own way, O Lord. Have thine own way. You, or thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. So there is a willingness. God, mold me. Reshape me. Make me what you want me to be after your will. No longer mine. See, brethren, what happens is that for that pot to be restored, there has to be some form of willingness. There has to be some form of willingness. Use me, Lord. Make me. Mold me. Do whatever you want me to be. There is that yielding. And when you go into that wheel, it's a point of no return. It's a point of no return because it's now shaping you. It's no longer what you want. You're now yielded to God's will. You're now yielded to the potter's will. And he will shape you to that vessel or that pot that he thinks or he knows you will be used for. That once you're put in a place, in a ministry, once you're placed in a home, once you're placed, whatever it is that you'll be placed, you will be of use. Another story was told of a pot that was broken. And there was another pot that was not broken. But the user of these pots would go to the stream and get water with the two of them and come home with them every other week. But one of them would be spilling water. After some time, this broken pot said to the master, I feel so bad that I'm broken. And the master asked, why? Well, you work so hard. You know, on your right hand, you carry the other pot that brings water. On the other hand, here I am. You know, whatever you put, I just pour. And by the time I reach home, there is hardly any water. I said, no, you don't need to feel bad about being broken. You are still useful. And the pot asked, how? I said, well, when I realized that you are broken on one side, I decided to plant seeds on that side. So if you see the direction that I walk, every time I carry you, you have been watering that side. And there is a lot of good crops that have grown on that path. Your brokenness has been useful for me. And beloved, what I'm saying is this. Your state of being brokenness should not be the issue. It is that God can still restore you. That God can still use you. The worst part that I've realized, and there's so many examples, and if you're careful as you listen to the news, as you read the newspapers, you read articles, you'll be so clear to be able to see what I'm talking about. The biggest challenge that we have is that in our brokenness, we refuse fellowship. In our brokenness, we don't want to be in the midst of believers, this crowd of witnesses. We want to stay on our own. But you see what happens? If this pot didn't open up to the master and say, you know, I feel so bad about being broken. If it didn't open up and be encouraged, no, you're okay. You've actually been watering the plants on the way. If that pot didn't open up to what was going on and decided to say, no, I'm just going to sit here. I'm just so useless. Nobody cares about me. Everything I carry, I just pour. You know, nobody cares. You know, I'm just... Eventually, there'll be depression and other things that we can talk about. We need to have fellowship, regardless whether you are broken or not. We need to have fellowship. We need to remove ourselves from that self-condemnation, self-pity because we are broken, because we are not being used the way the others are being used, because the others are not pouring, but you are pouring and you start feeling useless. It is okay. You are still being used by God. But the moment you yield yourself to God, the moment you yield yourself to God, he takes that brokenness and he restores it. And you become somebody different. I was just reading a story, yesterday about pots. And these, not necessarily pots, but vessels that have been made from broken pieces or broken pots, you know, in a potter's house. So what they do is that somebody just comes with a thought, with a process. What is it that I'd like to do with these broken pieces? And Somebody decides, I'm going to make just, you know, maybe something round. I'm going to make a sheep. You know, whatever it is that you feel is going to set you free. You feel like you're a prisoner, and the only way you can get out of there is maybe a sheep. So out of those broken pieces, you make your own model of a sheep. But it makes sense. And that's why the potter, in the story of the potter here, says that he takes that molding or that broken pieces, and he molds that part, that piece, to something new. So that you may not be the same old pot. You may be a bigger, fatter pot, or you may be another smaller pot. He's going to make something different out of you. But we cannot hide ourselves and say, nobody cares. Nobody, you know, I don't care. Nobody matters to me anymore. Everybody has rejected me. We've got to still continue in fellowship. Am I speaking to somebody today? Have thine way, O Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord. Wash me. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. And finally he says, have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Can I not do with you, O Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, O Israel. My biggest encouragement is to know that God does not give up on us. Even when we give up on ourselves, even when we've tried things and they have failed, you've tried it again and it has not worked out, still God does not give up on you. I love the words of Jeremiah 29:11, and you know this by now because every time I stand here, I always quote them, that I know the plans I have for you. Are you broken? Yes, I am, but I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. I will still use you. I will still use you. Are you broken? Yes. How many pieces? Oh, like 10. So I can still use you. Yes, I am. About how many pieces? Like 1,000. I can still use you because I know the plans that I have for you. The challenge that we should always have is that we should not be competing with other people. You don't know where I passed. I don't know where you've passed. Some of us, or some of you, we're sitting on such brokenness that by the time you reach where you are and you look back, all that you see are just mirages or mirages of those pieces that you once were. But God gathered them together to make the person that we see today. So in your life, do you see people that you really admire and say, oh my goodness, I wish I can be such a person? Oh, probably not, my brother, my sister. Because what that person has gone through to be who that person is today is brokenness. So is there somebody else that you've seen in your life? Somebody who is so broken, somebody who is so challenged, and they're going through so many things in their lives, and you're like, oh God, pray for them, beloved, because next time you see them, God will have made them into something new. Praise the name of Jesus. God is not through with you yet, beloved. That's the message I want you to remember. He is not through with you yet. It does not matter where you are in your life right now. It does not matter. It does not matter what form of brokenness you're going through or you're experiencing. He does not give up on you. He still says, I know the plans are for you. Broken, yes, I'll still use you. I will remold you. I will make you into something new, something useful, something beautiful, something to offer or to bring worship into my house. I can still use you. It does not matter. How many times I've fallen? Oh, Lord, I keep falling. I can still use you. How many times you're sinning? It doesn't matter. I can still use you. I can still use you. Through your brokenness, through your challenges, through your faults and failure, he declares, can I not do with you? Oh, blank, put your name. Can I not do with you as this potter does? Can I not? I know the plans that I have for you. So today, as you leave this church today, I want you to replay that in your mind over and over again. That God can do with you whatever that potter does, recreating that mold and making it to something new. But you need to yield and tell God, use me one more time. I yield myself to you. It's not going to be easy. He will crush you. He'll remold you. He'll press you. He'll put you back to the oven that you'd gone through before. And he'll remove you out again and put you back again until you become a vessel that will bring honor to his name. And in the end, people will be admiring, wondering, what made you different? And all that you can say is that God remolded me. But it was not an easy process. And that's where you can declare and say that if God can use anything, if God, you can use anybody, it is this ex-broken vessel. Once a broken vessel, but restored by the Master's hand. Let us pray, shall we? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Such me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord. Wash me just now, as in thy presence. I bow. Lord, in our lives today, we pray that, Lord, you may have your own way, Lord. We have struggled with having things our way, and we've ended up being broken. And as we surrender our will and our way today, oh God, we are saying that, God, we cannot be able to do it without you. Every time we try, we ended up being broken. Every time we try doing things on our own way, we end up being shattered. So God, we are coming this moment shattered, broken, wounded, rejected, hated, and often we feel useless. But God, have your own way. You are the potter. We are the clay. Restore us, O God. Restore us and make us, Lord, to that vessel that you want us to be. You've reminded us again that you have a plan for us, O Lord. But sometimes we feel so broken. We look at ourselves and we look at our history. We look at the things that we have done and we wonder who could ever accept us. But you've told us again that you're a God of second chance. So take us, Lord. Pick our broken pieces. Mold us one more time. The vessels of honor to be used by you. We surrender to you. We yield ourselves to you. We yield our life to you. We yield our brokenness to you. God, take us back to the potter's wheel and mold us after your will, after your way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, church. Here comes a guy who loves you. You remember the time I was leaving this place, I said, I love you. Do you still love me? Or Kenya has made me aside. God forbid. Praise the Lord. Here is a man of faith. Faith going, faith coming. Sister Catherine, where is this Sister Caro? Gide, are you in the house? Ah, look at you guys. I wish you had what I would say. Praise the Lord. All you know is by faith. I'm here. I went by faith and I'm by faith. I wish I get time. But I know I'll speak about this either in this world or in the other world. God knows better. But I know, and I know, and I know. I'll stand with a length of time and tell you of what happened. Woohoo! It's not easy. Faith is craziness. Ay, 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 ay. Am I speaking to somebody somewhere? Faith is craziness. This is why you see me here, because of craziness of faith. But I thank him that liveth forever. It was not easy. It was not. But on the other side, mama, mama, it was clean and sweet. I mean, after 14 years without seeing them, I saw them somewhere think that I have revived. You know, it's like he was dead and now he's rising up from the dead. Praise the Lord. You can't. You cannot understand nothing because you have been seeing your people every now and then. If you want to see them every minute, I'm not preaching, but I can preach. Yeah, I can preach and preach, but I'm not preaching today because I'll take your time. But hold it this way: there is faith, and there is God in heaven. He listened good. There is God in heaven. If I'm here standing before you, there is God in heaven. Amen. No debate about it. It was good. I mean, it was good. My people are like, it's good. This is God. Really, this is God. My mama. Oh, Jesus of Nazareth. Let me not take your time. See me. Nione kando. See me aside. I'll tell you about this Jesus. All the time I stand, where I'll stand, I'll remember to give all the glory to him that liveth forever. Amen. I'll stand one day, if not in this world, in the world to come. And I'll tell of the oracles, sir, of him that liveth forever. Amen. And I'm not sorry about it. When it comes to that, I don't care who is the next, because I know that there is one, not me. The Bible says not by might, nor by, but by his spirit, says the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm here and here to stay. Here and here to stay. And if I want to go back, not like now the way I came. Now I'm clear to go and come back. Yeah? Hallelujah. Is that not the God we serve? Is that not God we serve? Hiya, you don't understand, but you'll understand all of these fine days. God bless you.
Brother Munene, we love you. Welcome back. It's good. We thank you so much for sending us the pictures of your the wedding. We praise God with you, and we celebrated that through the WhatsApp. Yeah. Oh yes, thank you so much.
Amen, amen. Kedua di mwega. Yesu Kristo ni mwadi na mwamiki wa goe yako. Savior my life. Ile kedua na niju kite usera wishi yana. And my daughter, Sister Grace. she's the one who told me about where she goes to fellowship. It was a miracle from God. Ole thura semani dienake. And then we started talking. After knowing that, we share the same language. Iwara kijirire, where she goes to worship, and she asked me if I'll be having a chance on Saturday we come. Noga yakire umwehoke ku. Todo ni alikiti uto ihida liu. Narike juge, mitati mamuno ni kigo. Bwana Yesu wapio sifa, na barali umono makilia. Jitago nyaki hiu, na Jokete usera siana. Kana Margaret Wajiko. And I'm so blessed. You kaga.
Karibu sana. Welcome, mommy. We are happy to have you in our fellowship, and God bless you. When we see you, we see God. When we see you, we see our mother. Amen. And you are a blessing.
God is good. And all the time. My name is Margaret Wanjiko Mushafa. I came here last in July, so I'm almost 2 months here. I live in Kiabu when I'm in Kenya, and I go to worship at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Kiabu. And I came visiting my cousins who reside here in Dallas. And there is another one in Oklahoma, so I still went visiting him. And there is one in Seattle who I'm not yet going to visit. And then I work with the Minister of Health back in Nairobi. I'm on my annual leave, and I'll be going back to work next month. So I'll be here up to the end of this month. And if anybody from Kiabu, you can send greetings. I'll be happy to take your greetings to them back at home. I decided to come and visit the place because I wanted to see how you people live here. I have seen you are good, you are okay, and you are living well. I thank God for that. I've gone to different churches. In Oklahoma, I went to CIF. In here in Irving, I went to Holy Family Nazarene. And here I am today here, Empowerment Christian Center. And what I've come to see is that we worship the same one God. God is good. And we thank God for that. Thank you so much. I'm staying with Rose. Rose is my friend. I'm assisting her with babysitting of baby Jaden. And there is, where's the other one? Yeah, and Megan. So we are living well, and we thank God. Thank you.
This is a special day. We have a lot of guests. Can we appreciate the Lord for that? Amen. Yeah, we have two other guests here. Let's let them tell us who they are.
Praise God, church. Praise God again. Pascalina Kangethe is my name. I live in Dallas. I'm quite new here because I got like in the USA. And I felt to come and fellowship with you. And I'm feeling like I am already home. Yes. You're blessed, and I am completely at home. On my right, I have my son with me. Maybe you can say hi to them.
Hey, my name is Brian, and I'm happy to be here with you today.
Back in Kenya, we come from Kiambu. I'm happy to hear you also come from Kiambu too. And when you go back, you say hi to them. Maybe I'll talk to you after the church. And thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Let's appreciate the Lord again for these wonderful people. Thank you so much. I pray.